Well, I've got my Bible in hand. Here we go. I love it. Lord, open our hearts as we open your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being just that, a very generous and a very good God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us, and I thank you for that, you know last week we started our Sunday series. It's entitled Our Season to Bless. It's intentional, not only because of the season that we're coming into with the Summer of Love, being a blessing to people that we know, some we don't know, maybe even our enemies. We will be a blessing to them, I guarantee it. Last time we were together, the message was entitled Qualified to Bless. Qualified to Bless. Now I'm going to go, this is going to be a quick message, maybe, compared to me. I heard a cute one, how that a pastor who had a lengthy sermons always, when he began his message, all of a sudden during it, one guy got up. Can you believe that? Went out, came back toward the end of the message. Pastor was greeting people as they were leaving, said, hey, why did you leave during my message? He said, I went to get a haircut. Haircut? Why didn't you get it before service? The guy said, I didn't need it then. So we'll have a little bit shorter message here today. Today's message, though, is entitled Blessing Our Children. Blessing Our Children. Let's take a look here. We're going to be going to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, 21. Very profound two verses here. Shocking to me. But it is interesting because we're going to see these two men. They are mentioned among the heroic acts of people in the Heroes Hall of Faith, the faith chapter. And you and I, when we were together, we're seeing how that this beautiful expression to bless people, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Some of you would say, well, man, isn't that antiquated? Isn't that kind of old school? I thought that was something of the past. If you feel that way, you're not alone. But this is something that's very biblical, is something here and now. And if you step into that area of blessing individuals, blessing because of the way you know you've been set up to do, then you're going to find that your environment is really going to change. It's going to be very effective in the way that we're handling it, and how much more so right now today. So let's take a look. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm in Hebrews 11, verse 20 and 21. Let's pick it up there. It says, "And it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff." The New King James rendering says basically that by faith Isaac blessed his sons. Now, let's take a look here. If you notice on our text, it's interesting because by faith it says that Isaac promised blessings. Then by faith it says that you have Jacob then leaning on his staff. He blesses his grandsons. It's interesting to note. It's powerful when you take a look here because Hebrews chapter 11, incredible chapter in Scripture. It's probably one of the most cited chapters, one of the most memorized portions of Scripture, right up there with 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, right after the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23. Everybody knows those, but it comes to Hebrews 11. Everybody is engaged with that. It says, without faith, Hebrews 11, 6, it's impossible to please God. And these two men, by faith, impart a blessing on their children, grandchildren. Something's powerful about that. Is that all they ever did? No, no. But God is trying to elevate to us today how important it is to speak a blessing over people. I mean, these two guys, that act that is described here is listed with Enoch in chapter 11. Enoch, it says, walked with God. God liked it so much. Come on up here. He disappeared. It's got Noah listed in Hebrews 11 that lo and behold, wow, can you imagine that he built an ark and it never rained before on earth? You've got Sarah. She conceives, has a baby beyond menopause. You have Abraham, who departs in faith from his own countrymen to take on a new setting and obeys God to potentially offer his son. Can you imagine? You have also Moses by faith, who leads an entire nation out of Egypt, out of bondage, into their promised land. Those acts, you would say, I'd say, certainly, whoa, that is incredible faith. And then you have these two guys. It says, by faith, they blessed their family. Incredible. That's it? That's it? Now, I cannot elevate what you and I are talking about right now, today, any more than this, what God has done by elevating by faith to bless your family than what is right here. There's nothing more. We could literally just close our Bibles and say, well, I think I got it. This is an important thing to do. This is something I need to see happen in my life. So here they are. They recognize it was faith in action. Faith in action. They are now going to speak a blessing that God has placed on them. Here you go, family. Boom. It mattered to the patriarchs. The angels of God would come later and say, yep, you're blessed. And confirm that over their posterity. Incredible. Incredible. We know Jesus in John 10:10, when he said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Wow, God is all about making sure you have a good life. And he asks us to impart that blessing. You and I know how that blessing was. Now, it's very impressive what God has done here. I'm pretty impressed when I see this. I was so impacted by that all. Matter of fact, I know you're impressed. So turn to somebody and say, I'm pretty impressed. Go ahead and just let them know. I'm pretty impressed. Thank you. So there are many times, even in my almost 36 years of lead pastoring, where we would see a little child, sometimes an infant, just come into the church. And I would just say, what a cute baby, and say, God bless you, child. Now, that's not just aren't that a boy kind of expression, or aren't you just being a good kid? There's something there. Who knows? That could be the only blessing that child may ever get. So to express that and to present that is very powerful. Matter of fact, toward the end of my message, we're going to probably even have people just come forward and receive a blessing. If you never remember a parent figure in your life speaking a blessing over you, this could really make your day today. That the blessing of the Lord come upon you. And it's interesting, this all came about. We were there last Sunday when I spoke this blessing, the original blessing in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Remember that when God spoke to Abraham how I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to profusely use you to bring blessings one right after another to all the families. It's important. You recognize your prayers are so valuable and powerful. Matter of fact, let's look at James chapter 5 just for a moment. James 5:16 literally says this, that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I believe that. I've seen that. I've been the recipient of people that earnestly pray. It's powerful. Now, there could be times that some of us really don't have confidence in our own prayer. Come on, raise that faith up. Yep. Raise that faith up. You could always tell somebody that has confidence more in themselves by how little they pray. Oh, you know, I know I need to pray, but man, I got to get to work. God would understand. So it's important that we get a chance to understand the value of our prayers. But check out here, in modern times, this echoes the same blessing. I'm now in Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at verse 1 through 3. Let's see what God said to Abram. Then the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, the patriarchs were very mindful of that blessing through the family of Abraham. And as we saw last time we were together, as we rehearsed just a little bit, it's interesting because we noticed last time, qualified to bless. We note on our notes now, if you look, the authority or our authority to bless. We just covered these 2 points. We're just going to cover 2 this morning. Legal ground, that was a main reason. The legal ground that you can speak a blessing is because that same blessing I just read, Galatians 3:14 says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You are either a Gentile by birth or a Jew by birth, or you get born again and you become part of the family of God or the church of God. There's only 3 distinctions according to Scripture. So it's important that we take a look and understand you've got a legal element. So parents today, amazing. There is such weightiness in your ability to pass on to the next generation a blessing. So significant. Same way the patriarchs did, we can as well. When we rely upon, because of the word of the Lord, because the indwelling Holy Spirit, you have that right. It's just so good and so wonderful. We saw the second qualification, or the authority, was that there's positional grounds for our blessing. And that was because 1 Peter, Scripture says, we're now made priests of the Lord, contemporary priests. We're priests of God. We bring both man and God together. We represent Him. And it's interesting that Scripture said that. So you not only have the legal ground because you have faith in Jesus, you're not the same person. You're born again. Man, you are a son, daughter of God. And you now represent God to society and to humanity. You say, well, what are those blessings? Well, please take a look. Let's go on our resource a little later. Go into the website and see last Sunday's message, Deuteronomy 28. We were looking at 7 distinct blessings that God says, I will cover you in all these things. That's important. I like to just shorten it for people to say, man, I just want to tell you, God will make your life work out. You won't be exempt from challenges because this world is broken, and you hang out with broken people, you're going to be cut a little bit. But God will make sure things will come through. He promises blessing. Well, let's take a look at the way, because our message today, blessing our children, ways we bless our children. Let's take a look. Point number 1, bless children by the words we speak. That sounds almost obvious, doesn't it? We will be going to Numbers chapter 6. You can find your way there. But it's interesting. When we were together, that word bless, really, in Hebrew, was barak, which means more of a posture that a person would take in a humble approach so that the person can extend their hands over that person or on their head. Barak, I bless you. Eulogio was the Greek word where we get our English word eulogy from. Who's going to bring the eulogy for this celebration of life service? Word spoken about somebody. So it seems to be the hand extended, bringing blessing, where words are given, and that's how blessings transfer. People have to hear those words. It's the same about getting born again. At Romans 10:14, we saw that, says, how can anybody get saved unless somebody goes and tells them? And how can anybody go and tell unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So to tell somebody, I bless you in the name of Jesus. It's very important for them to hear that. It's powerful and extremely effective. I remember Ainsley and I had a custom tucking our children in bed, often just praying and usually just speaking a blessing over them, or we kneel by the bed. We just love our daughter Holly. She's just our youngest, but now she has 3 wonderful sons of her own. What a great benefit and blessing she's raising up. Quality young men for the Lord. There are times then when Holly or Luke or Emily were still at home and now they're teens or even more mature. I'm not going to go in unless they invite me to pray. I'm hoping they're doing their own bedtime prayers, but I would often pray at the door and just speak a blessing over them, just in passing. Just always good. I speak that over you when the Lord brings your name, or over Hope Chapel. Lord, bless Hope Chapel today. That means the people. God blesses people. He does not bless programs. I always just like to remind myself, man, because you're involved in something, he's going to bring the blessing. Woo-wee. Thank you for being involved in your church. And it's important that we encourage ourselves in that regard. So many of the Jewish people, even, because of this Hebrews 6 that we're about to just kind of look over, it's listed on your notes, Jewish customs traditionally on Friday night, because their Sabbath would be Saturday, and so on Friday nights, they would typically just bring the family together, and it could be in a variety of formats. The male or the husband or the father would speak a blessing over all the children, or they would maybe divide and have the father speak a blessing over the boys and the mother speak a blessing over the girls. They could do it, and they have done, where they start with the oldest and go on down to the youngest. They could go on down. When they're all done, just speaking a blessing. Like we have found, it just seems like there's a quality of connectivity that takes place with the parents. We just felt like there's more of a spiritual environment and a joy, that just a gratification. You just appreciate each other more. And then oftentimes, like in the Jewish customs, they would lean in and whisper something of encouragement, or maybe something that they noticed that that child did that week. And then you always end it with a hug or a kiss. And it's really pretty special when we get a chance to do that. It does not take much. Just to impart that with your words are so valuable. Well, let's take a look at Numbers chapter 6. I've asked you to go to verse 23. It's going to be important when you see here, because in this rendering, it says here, New King James says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying." Now, we know who Moses is. Aaron was the high priest, and his sons were the high priest following him. In other words, they were the ones that were the priests of the land. The Levites did the little difficult but menial tasks. But the priests represented God, spoke and brought the word or the blessing of God on. So Moses is saying, hey, you tell the priests, that's what he's saying, this is how I want you to bless the children. We're taking that and saying, let's pass that on. Dear Christian leader, dear parent, dear representative of God in this society, you take that word he's about to present and bless your children. This is the way verse 23 says, that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And verse 27 says, so they shall put my name, God says, capital M, my name on the children of Israel, and he says, I will bless them. That's pretty powerful. Man, I want God's blessing. We share, if you take a look at anything that says, I'll bless you. I love that when it says so clearly in Proverbs 10:22, that the blessing of the Lord make one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I want that blessing. How's that going to come? Through you. Through you. You just pass that puppy on down. Well, why doesn't God just bless me? I don't need anybody. For whatever the reason, he wants you to impart that blessing. He wants you. You're his representative. He started the ball rolling. You keep that wonderful ball of blessing going. I don't know if there's been occasion that you have not prayed. If you have not prayed, God bless you in a while over people. Then this is a great reminder. Let's get back at it. Let's just, God bless you. Thank you. Very important. Want to add, too, it's incredibly important. Maybe you're at home and you just know there's just vile phrases and condemning, matter of fact, cursing that could come upon a home where a person uses God but uses the word damn. And if that's the case, man, you don't want that to linger too long. And if you're at a point of frustration saying, what is going on in this home? You might have just pronounced a damnation, and it sure be great to start speaking blessing over this home. So important. So important. The words spoken are so important. It's vital. When Jesus was sending out the 70, you write down Luke chapter 10, sent out 70 disciples, go into all the cities of which I'm going to come visit. And when you go there, and somebody invites you into their home, verse 4 and 5, check it out, Luke 10, 4 and 5. You first speak peace to this home. And if a son of peace is in that house, your peace will remain. If it isn't, when you depart, it's going back with you. That's why I encourage you, you've heard me say that, you can change the environment wherever you work, wherever you stay. Haynes and I stay in a hotel. We speak a blessing over this room. Who knows who stayed there? Who knows what happened there? And anything that's not of God, get out in the name of Jesus. We now paid for this property. This is ours for at least less than 24 hours now. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you come. I'm telling you, we sleep a whole lot better. Whole lot better. So when we take a look on your notes, when God says, this is how I want you, the priest, to speak over the people, the Lord bless you means God prosper you. The Lord keep you means God will protect you. Lord make his face to shine upon you means God surrounds you with his glory. And be gracious to you means God's grace will carry you through everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everything he has for you. Now, I'm telling you, there's something about grace. That's not just a polite, oh, you're so gracious. Book of Acts said, when they went around to the villages, there's phrases, the grace of God was there to heal. Ooh, it means the power of the Holy Spirit. There's evidence that God's starting to move. There's a grace. He wants to do something. Grace of God will carry you through everything. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you means you come under God's smile with approval and give you peace. Means God will bring complete wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. And there's something about that peace that you just feel like, man, I feel like I'm getting put back together. And then verse 27. It's interesting because God says, make sure you put my name on those children. Put my name on those children and I will bless them. That's why we would say, be blessed in Jesus' name. Oh, so good. So good. Let's take a look at point number two. Bless children by the way we live as examples. First was bless children with our words. They've got to hear that word. But the way we live for children, for anybody to receive that, sure has to have a quality example to follow. Nobody's going to receive what's being said if the actions or the life doesn't matter, or I should say match up. I like Proverbs 13:22. Just says this, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. No, it's a little bit more than just about money here. Not everybody can pass money as an inheritance. But we can pass a legacy of a good quality life, a godly life. And that's really what Scripture is talking about here. You can find people can refuse a blessing. They really can't. I mean, there you could hear certain people, sometimes adults, God bless you. Oh, he has and he will. Which to me means, I got enough, keep yours. What? What? Okay. And the same with children. Children can do the same thing. It's like, what? Who are you to speak that? What does that even mean? So our words alone cannot communicate the blessing. It really has to be an area where a person is living it out by example. For example, you can imagine you come up, an adult says, oh, dear young person, man, you're really talented. You're going to be a good pianist one day. But that same individual never buys a piano or never provides piano lesson, how many know it's going to be a little confusing to that young person? Or if someone else hears from their adult, like, you know, we're going to play next weekend. Next weekend, I'm with you. And that weekend comes, you know what, can't do it. We're going to do the next weekend. Don't worry, I'll be there. Well, after a while, a child is not going to really accept the words spoken by an adult. It's so important. by our words and by our actions. So significant. Back it up, carry it forward. That's why we want to live a life that really exemplifies areas where we reverence or adhere to things that involve God. Probably the one area I want to just highlight, and it's Exodus 20. And Exodus 20 is naturally the Ten Commandments. There's one in particular commandment that I always thought, God, you're really quite getting tough about bringing down guilt responsibilities on the third and fourth generation. Check it out with me, because if the parents do not display the right image of God, children will carry that wrong image to the third and fourth generation. Dear friends, what you live for God, who you represent and display as important, your children will follow in suit. But check out what God says here. I'm in Exodus 20, verse 3. And you must not have any other God but me. That's the first commandment. Here's the second one I brought to your attention. You must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind or any image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Check that out with me. It's like, why would God be so tough on somebody that just decides they're going to display something different on the walls of their home, or maybe show forth an interest in things other than things that involve God? I don't know. Possibly, maybe, people could have things that really display this is of utmost importance for our family. This is tradition. But it doesn't involve God. But you can see people lean toward or behave in such a way that they will lay everything aside except things that involve God. That family is going to inherit that, as that's just our family tradition. It's what we do. Our education's of utmost importance. Acquire as much money as we want. All of those things, nothing wrong in itself, but when it eliminates God from the picture, and the children observe that, and they have no inkling of the value of putting God first. That's really our theme this year, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. You know, Ainsley and I and our children, we lived in Banning for 15 years. We were passed as our first church. You know, like God told John the Baptist, get out into the wilderness. Well, he sent us too. So we were out there. And Banning, in the high desert, we were right on the border of Morongo Indian Reservation. Something that was observable in First Nation or Native Americans is that they had what they call totem poles. But that tribe or even that family, you've heard of dream catchers and things like that, what they valued, they put them on a totem. This is what the tribe says is of utmost importance. And so you would take a look and see, well, okay, there's an owl there. You may want to make sure you're as wise as a what? Owl. Or as brave as a bear. So you'd say, okay, that tribe values wisdom, bravery, and that's what they're all about. The same with families. We were to take a look, what's on your wall at home? What do you have the family go and scurry off to? And if God fits the schedule, we'll come. You can imagine, could be a problem, and it's not just for the here and now. You're talking third and fourth generation. That set up of generational elements would so influence those kids becoming adults who will say, my daddy always taught us this way. This is what was important. And then they, in turn, pass it on to their children. And that's how the whole family gets affected. That's what God said. So having a right image of God is so important. So when we speak a blessing over somebody, We want to make sure it's backed up with a lifestyle. That child's going to hear it and say, oh, yeah, my daddy, he loves Jesus. Oh, yeah, my mommy. Oh, if I ever had to wave her off to heaven, I'm going to tell everybody she loved God's word and valued the things of the Lord. Man, I've done plenty of funerals. People would often say nothing about God. Breaks my heart. I'm sure they recognize, the deceased recognized God. There's nothing mentioned, only that they were a good cook, all family really mattered to them. But there's nothing that really a lasting eternal legacy. I think you and I can really determine that. Isn't that beautiful? You and I are alive today. You and I are alive today. You can set the tempo for that. You can model that. What a blessing that really is. So we take a look, significant for us today, blessing of our children. I had one dad come to me a while back, said, you know what happened to me, Pastor Paul? I told my adult son, I said, you need to read the Bible. That'll really help you. And the son said to him, Dad, it didn't help you. You've not changed. It's like, oh. So when we take a look, they really do see what we're all about, don't we? Decide today to speak blessings over people. Boy, we're going to see. We'll see. God even wants us to bless our enemies. That radical, wild person gets so transformed by the saving power of God, they'll come back. They'll become your best friends. Let's bless everybody. I want to, at this time, I think it's appropriate that if you've never been prayed for, you don't remember an adult, a parent, an authority figure blessing you, then we want to do that. This could be such a change for your life that something significant take place. Just a simple blessing. I'm going to invite you right now, if you're that person, and you who are at home, would you stand? I'm going to invite you to stand. Say, you know what? I don't remember my parents ever praying a blessing. Would you just stand to your feet and just come up front and join me right here? Just stand right where I'm at. I'm going to invite you to stand right up, face the sanctuary. Come on up. Yeah, thank you. You don't remember a authoritarian figure, a parent figure, speaking a blessing over you. Today is going to be great. Just come right on up here in line and face the sanctuary. Thank you. It's very important. We still have time for anybody else that feels that they would want to. Patrick, we're going to let you come on up here. I'm going to invite now those of you who are here, and you know, you feel very confident God has really, because of Jesus in your life, and the quality with which you represent him as a priest unto God. I'm going to invite you to come forward. Would you come forward and just face these who are standing here? I would like a lady to pray for a lady just gently on their shoulder. And if you're a man, I'd need to have some men to come forward and say, I'm going to just bless you. Doesn't require much other than just in Jesus' name. I bless you now. And we are inviting you. Thank you for that. This is a significant moment. This is not a small thing. Okay, let's make sure we have everybody have somebody there. That would be good. Okay. All right. We're going to have another man come forward. Good. Come on up. Great. Okay. I need a couple more men. Okay. Do we have any other men that could come up and join us? Thank you. Thank you, David. Say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. There will be something that will happen and take form. Thank you. David? Thank you. Lord, we thank you that in Jesus' name we're believing that the blessings you intend, transfer of your grace and your goodness. Thank you, Lord. We just speak the very best good. Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we love love and thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's still time if somebody's here and say, well, I feel like I should get up there. I would. Watch how it will revolutionize the environment of your living arrangement. He's so significant. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you're done praying, I'm going to welcome you to be seated. Be great. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for participating, both receiving a blessing, those praying a blessing. When Ainsley and I were in Uganda, there was such fallout from so many of the individuals. The children were so many orphans because of the genocide in Uganda. And many of those children did not have parental figures, some of them being raised by grandparents, great-grandparents. And I spoke something very similar. The church was about, it just filled, 700-plus. And I said, we would like the, at that time when you talked a teenager, they're probably 43 years of age and under. Let's just have so many of the children who are just children and then orphans just packed out. And I need now the parents to come and just pray a blessing. We just talked about praying a blessing. There was nobody in their seats, and all the parents just prayed, and it was loud. There was weeping. God moved. And then I asked the children to pray a blessing on the adults. You now are blessed. You can now bless. And it's the only thing we just didn't do here in exchange. Now you just go and bless. I would say you can take that blessing and go and bless everybody. I bless you in Jesus' name. And they will be blessed. Why? Because of the word of the Lord. Word of the Lord. I like Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I intend and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I believe that, don't you? Something about the word of God is so powerful. And when you apply it with your faith, it becomes like Jesus incarnate. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We do have prayer wall that's here. I'm going to invite you, if you are here ready to pray for people, and you just need prayer for anything, we sure welcome that. I want to just invite our parents to depart first out the side doors to make sure that they get their children. Bring them back. We'll pray for them. But now you, dear people, you can just pray your little heart out over your children. You're going to see a change in their atmosphere and their accomplishments. But I want to thank you. It's been a wonderful Father's Day. Thank you for joining us here at Hope Chapel. We're going to have a 10 o'clock service next Sunday. It's going to be fabulous. And everybody needs to eat lunch somewhere. Join us at 11:30 for our Koinonia cookout. But Lord, thank you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May the Lord keep you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his face to come upon you, shine upon you, and give you peace. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming. God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.